This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
Godless goddesses and all their male supporters, I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, welcoming you to Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest association of atheists and agnostics, and we are a state church watchdog working to preserve the constitutional wall of separation between state and church.
Atheists and agnostics, we like the term freethinker, a kind of umbrella term to encompass all types of non-believers. Whatever you call yourself, we all disbelieve in the same God. This is the weekend of March the 10th and 11th, 2012.
And did you see Freedom From Religion Foundation's full-page ad in the New York Times this past week? We raised $52,000 from donors across the country to put up our ad saying, isn't it time to quit the Catholic Church given its war on contraception? And you can go to ffrf.org/news to look at the ad if you missed it, to read our press release about it.
It's an open letter to liberal and nominal.
Never been done before.
Catholics. Free Thought Radio, this show broadcasts from Madison, Wisconsin. We also broadcast in a number of cities around the country. And, of course, we podcast throughout the entire natural universe.
In honor of International Women's Day, which was this past Thursday, March 8th, we're going to devote today's show to two fascinating women. We'll speak in a few minutes with the renowned Barbara Ehrenreich, author, activist, atheist, and also a young activist out of Tennessee, Crystal Myers, whose article on atheism, also calling attention to state church violations in her high school, was censored from her school newspaper by her school. Crystal Myers, we're happy to report, is FFRF's newest student activist awardee.
But before we talk with Crystal, just a reminder that Barbara Ehrenreich will be receiving the Freedom From Religion Foundation's coveted Emperor Has No Clothes Award at a post-Reason Rally gala in Washington, D.C. Do you say gala or gala?
I say gala, but you can say what you like,
so
Dan.
Let's call the whole thing off. Post-Reason Rally Gala in Washington, D.C. on Saturday, March the 24th. Join us at the Washington Court Hotel for a dinner and Barbara Ehrenreich's speech. Sorry, our Friday night dinner with Ellery Shemp is all sold out. But tickets are still available for the Saturday night gala. Sign up at ffrf.org/reasonrally. We'll have a preview of things to come on the second half of today's show when we talk with Barbara Ehrenreich.
Now, we have on the phone with us, and I know she needs to get to work, so we want to welcome her, Crystal Myers, who's the senior at a high school in Lenoir City, Tennessee. She's editor of her student newspaper. She's on the swim team, and talk to her about her plans for college, and we want to talk to her about her censored article. So welcome to Free Thought Radio, Crystal.
Well, thank you.
Now, your article was censored a couple weeks ago, was it?
Yes.
And would you want to tell us how did that happen?
Well, it took a couple of weeks to even get to that point where they were discussing my article, and mainly because a teacher was not satisfied with my interview with her. And she thought that I was targeting her, so she went to the superintendent about it and complained. And then eventually, after a lot of commotion about it, he just asked to see it, and my journalism teacher took it to him, and then he said it couldn't be printed.
So how did you feel?
Well, I mean, I didn't like it. I knew that he could do that, though, and I knew it was a possibility.
Now, how did it happen to get public? I mean, you were there was a really good article about you, beautiful picture in, I think, was it the Knoxville Times?
The Knoxville News Sentinel.
And how did they find out about it?
Well, when I was writing it, I actually emailed them and asked them if they wanted to publish it as well whenever I published it. And this was before the school told me that I couldn't publish it.
Censorship, let's call it.
Right. Yeah. And then whenever they censored me, I told them, or I told the News Sentinel, I was like, well, it won't be published in this edition of the newspaper anymore because it was censored.
Hmm.
And then obviously they picked up on that story, and you know how things went down.
Yeah, well, we were thrilled to read your article, and it's not just about being being an atheist at your high school, but also about these problems at your high school.
Well, the article's called No Rights, The Life of an Atheist. What did you say in there that was so outrageous?
Do you think you could read the article for us? Do you have it in front of you?
No, I do not. I'm sorry.
But basically, what did
you
say?
Why didn't you just tell us what you said?
I pointed out things or events in my school that happened that really made me feel uncomfortable. And like the minority wasn't really being taken seriously, and it was just the Christian majority and their feelings that were being taken into consideration.
Now, you were a Christian, right?
Yes.
And when did you, I guess, lose your faith in faith?
Well, it was a little bit before my freshman year.
And what made you decide to write this article in the first place?
I'm currently a student in government, and they were just talking about we have an intern in there, and he was talking about how there's no official religious test to become president, but obviously a lot of people want the president to be like a Christian. But then our actual teacher piped up and said that actually in Tennessee you do have to say that you believe in like a higher God or a higher being to be considered for any kind of public official.
Isn't this the same school where we complained about other...
Yeah, it is the same school. But was your teacher critical of that or promoting that?
He was just stating the facts.
Yeah. Now, that is clearly unconstitutional, but there are several states that still have these unconstitutional statutes in the books or in their constitution. And so then you also talk in your article about some specific problems at your school, and one of them is new to me. I was just absolutely flabbergasted that apparently there's prayer going on to start your swim meets.
Yes, it's not exactly, I didn't mention that in my article. I just talked to Hugh about it. Hugh Will, the reporter for the News Sentinel. And, as there's two captains for the swim team, but as one of the captains of the swim team, I feel like I need to be in the group and in the middle of it because we always do a cheer right afterwards. And it is student-led, but that just made me feel uncomfortable.
And what else did you say in your article that was, why do you think you were censored?
They thought their reasons, I know you probably heard, they thought it would be cause a disturbance. I haven't seen a disturbance at all. Nobody's even said anything to my face.
I've seen your picture, Crystal. It just doesn't seem like you'd make a disturbance.
Well, I'm not that type of person.
Now, there's a lot to talk about. Before we go for the break, what's the reaction been of your classmates to all of this?
Well, of course they have their own opinions, and for some reason they like to make that known on the internet without talking to me about it. But, I kind of expected it, so at least people aren't hurling rocks at me or anything like that.
Well, maybe you made a point that the minorities we are here, think what you will, have your beliefs, but there are also other points of view within the school, not just the status quo.
Right.
Now, you are an honor student. You're captain of your swim team. You're also the editor of the paper. I mean, you're a really model student. Did your principal come and talk to you about this, or how have they explained this censorship?
They haven't talked to me at all about it. They told my journalism teacher, and he passed the news along to me.
Wow. Now, Dan started to say that the Freedom From Religion Foundation had been contacted in the past by a student who we had actually had to protest prayers being conducted in algebra class in your school district. And there was also a nativity scene at a Lenoir City School, when these are both very egregious violations. And
the school board's praying too, aren't they?
Yeah. So we found out since then, I mean, you've written about this, or I can't remember if you wrote about it or someone told us the school board is praying. Have you been at a school board meeting?
No, I have not, but I've had several, I wrote about it, but I've had several witnesses who have talked to me about it, and that's why I made a point to put it in my article.
And Tennessee is in the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, and there's a very clear decision by the appeals court saying that it is unconstitutional for school boards to pray for various obvious reasons. And then you also, I mean, there's prayers at football games and apparently prayers at graduation.
Right.
All of these things are illegal.
I know. I mean, I obviously I did my research and stuff, and that's why I decided to write it.
Well, good for you. And I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker.
And when we're speaking with our newest student activist honoree, Crystal Myers, who has received a $1,000 student scholarship from FFRF for speaking up for atheism and separation of church and state, writing an article for her student newspaper, which was censored. And we'll be back after the break to talk to her a little bit more about what's going on at her school.
Find out more about Free Thought Radio and the Freedom From Religion Foundation at FFRF.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio. Beware of dogma.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. We are co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which is a 501c3 educational charity working to promote non-theism, to educate the public about non-theism, and to uphold the constitutional separation of church and state. And you can join us at FFRF.org.
And we're continuing our conversation with a very brave high school student, Crystal Myers. She spells her name with a K, K-R-Y-S-T-A-L, Crystal Myers, in Lenoir City. Where is Lenoir City, Tennessee, Crystal? Is that east or west? Or?
It's east. It's a little bit past Knoxville, 30 minutes away.
Getting close to the Appalachians and Smoky Mountains and all that?
Yeah, that's about an hour away.
So you're in the Bible Belt down there, aren't you?
Definitely.
Is there a secular club at your school? Are you the only atheist? What's it like to be an atheist student at Lenoir High School?
Well, actually, we just started a Free Thought Society at our school, and that was passed or approved last week, I think. And I'm not the only atheist, but there's only like two or three that I know of besides me.
So was your censored article kind of an impetus to get a Free Thought Club started?
No, but because of my article, it was like my friends were wanting to have some kind of group that was just anybody that wanted to join and just had like an open mind to things.
This shows, I think, how often attempts to censor can actually backfire. If they had just printed your article, it might not have been noticed by much more out of your own county, but here now it's getting national attention.
Yeah, we don't have a very large readership of the newspaper, so it's definitely gotten a lot more attention than it would have.
So they did you a favor, actually, huh?
I guess, yeah, pretty much.
Now, do you think that part of the censorship was that there was this circling the wagon where the school didn't want it to get out that you were talking about how you've had teachers who've been proselytizing you?
I mean, I think so. I'm not going to say that was their reason because, I mean, I'm not them, but it certainly seems that way.
Well, for example, you wrote in your article, one teacher has Bible verses occasionally is the teacher's quote of the day. So that's pretty intrusive.
Right, but as for that teacher, I know that she is trying now to make that more well-rounded.
Now, well, that's good.
And that's not a problem anymore.
Now, I know that things haven't been too hot, but we did hear that there were some disparaging and threatening remarks on Twitter. Has that all died down?
I think so for the most part. The only reason I knew about it is because people would reference me directly in my name and my parents and I would look up, you know, my name on Twitter and see that. So if they are still talking about me, they're not using my name.
Now, our senior staff attorney, Rebecca Markert, sent a very thorough letter to your school district saying that Lenoir City Schools has countenanced and turned a blind eye to well-known violations and has chosen to address only certain issues brought to its attention rather than remedying the entirety of the problem. So we are very anxious to stop some of these violations. Are students talking about them?
I don't know if they're necessarily talking about the violations because I don't think they've actually read the article. They are just saying that I'm looking for attention.
Oh.
Well, in a sense, you kind of are. I mean, you want attention to the truth and to fairness and to equality and to an open market of ideas. So.
Right, but that's not what they're meaning.
That you have a big ego and you just want to cause trouble, right?
Right.
You know, the school handbook even says that students or employees are not supposed to make disparaging conduct about anything that's sexual or racial or ethnic or religious in nature. They're violating their own handbook.
Yeah, I've gone through that, the handbook, a lot lately.
Now,
back at facts.
Now, Crystal, you are a senior, and where have you applied to go to college?
I've applied to Kansas State, Indiana University, University of Tennessee, and that's it. I've been accepted to all of them, but I think I'm going to UT. My first choice was Indiana, but they haven't offered me enough scholarship money, so I could go there.
Now, oh, and you're interested in, because you are editor of your student newspaper, you're interested in journalism.
Right.
Well, you'll be able to make a lot of trouble as a journalist, student journalist in college, I hope.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly what Annie Laurie did. She got into, you were the editor, editorial page editor of the
Daily Cardinal.
At the University of Wisconsin.
Yeah, I worked for the Daily Newspaper. I had a lot of fun. I'm a journalism grad, so I'm all in favor of it, so long as there's some newspapers left.
So, some print media.
Now, does your family, I don't know if you want to talk about it, but does your family kind of support what you're doing or not?
They definitely support me. While they may not have the same beliefs as me, they support what I'm trying to do and my First Amendment rights, really.
Now, we do not have the article in front of us. We had trouble printing it, but anyone listening who wants to read Crystal Meyer's article can go to ffrf.org/news and look for the news release about Crystal's award. And then that takes you to a link to the Knoxville newspaper, which published your article. And I think that is, well, you must have been pretty proud about that.
Oh, yeah, I was definitely pretty excited.
Now, I want to tell you a secret. I can't tell the person's name, but I happen to know that there is an evangelical church not far from you that is being pastored by a man who is now an atheist, but he hasn't told anybody. He's told some of us in the Clergy Project that he wants to get out of the ministry. So if you do hear any ministers or priests complaining about your article or just saying anything, keep in mind that some of them actually don't believe what they are preaching.
Oh, well, that's surprising.
I can't tell you who he is, but maybe one of these days when he finally gets out, you can meet him.
Now, I'm still trying to figure out, excuse me, what's going on when you have a swim meet. How do they introduce religion into that?
Well, we have one swimmer who wants to be a some kind of evangelical pastor or something, and he always wants to have a prayer before the swim meets.
So does the student, has the student been praying, or how is that conducted?
He probably thinks a swim meet is a baptism.
I know he asked our coach the first time if he could do it, and she just said yes. And then he has done it ever since then, whenever he's been present at a meet. And then we always do our cheer afterwards.
Hmm.
You mean it's like a school cheer?
Oh, no, not a school cheer. We have one, kind of a school cheer because we are a school team, swim team. But it's just our own little way of hyping ourselves up.
Well, we are really grateful to you for speaking out there in Tennessee. are glad that your article wasn't censored from the greater population, even if your school didn't do it justice. And thank you, Crystal Myers, for joining us today, and congratulations for becoming our newest student activist honoree.
Thank you.
I'm Dan Barker here with Annie Laurie Gaylor, and stay tuned. After the break, we'll be speaking with Barbara Ehrenreich, the author, the feminist, about some of her books and about what she might be telling us at our post-Reason Rally banquet in Washington, D.C. on March the 24th. Stay tuned.
Hello, this is Janine Garofalo. Are you tired of right-wing politicians who desperately want to impose their religious beliefs on the rest of us? I know I am. That's why I'm asking you to support the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Join the fight and call the Freedom From Religion Foundation toll-free at 1-800-335-4021. That's 1-800-335-4021. Or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation website at ffrf.org. That's www.ffrf.org. Proud to be an atheist, Janine Garofalo.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker. And we were going to talk with Barbara Ehrenreich, but her agent just informed us that something came up, and she's unable to be with us today. But you can still plan to hear her on March the 24th at the Post Reason Rally Gala Dinner in Washington, D.C. If you want to go to the Reason Rally or any of our two events associated with the Reason Rally, go to our webpage to learn more, ffrf.org.
And but we have a great substitute for Barbara Ehrenreich, who is a feminist. We have another feminist to interview in honor of International Women's Day this past Thursday. And because of the all-out war, an assault against women's rights and women's right to contraception, it's the hottest state church issue ever. So we're very pleased that we have the principal founder of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, my mother, Anne Gaylor, who was who acted as president until 2004, after founding the group in 1976, and also is the principal administrator of the Women's Medical Fund, which is a Madison, Wisconsin-based 501c3 charity that helps to pay for abortions for women without means in Wisconsin. And welcome to the show, Mom.
Thank you.
Now, how long have you been running the Women's Medical Fund?
Oh, it seems like a very long time. 20,000 women.
20,000 women. I think it was, officially started in the mid-70s?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you were doing it before then?
We just helped a few people at first because, you know, we hadn't organized enough to find money. But it's been going strong.
The Women's Medical Fund is the longest-lived continuously operating abortion rights charity in the country.
We believe that's true.
And you always like to say the Women's Medical Fund is as pure a charity or as pure as ivory soap. Now, what do you mean by that?
Because it's totally volunteer. The only money that when people send in money, almost every penny goes for the intended purpose of helping very needy women pay for abortions. Because printing is donated, postage is donated, and time of everybody is donated.
And it's mostly your time answering the phone. Now, how many calls do you get typically a day?
Well, there are several a day.
Sometimes you get a dozen a day, but...
Yeah, but that's unusual.
Okay, but the ivory soap thing is because when somebody donates, didn't ivory soap used to say they are 99.944% pure, something like that?
Yes.
And so that 99.9 whatever percentage of your money is actually going directly to help a woman. It's not going to administration or overhead, except for what, a couple of little state filing fees or something?
Yes, Just only the required things.
Yeah.
And bank charges.
And I'm a secretary, so that's why I'm chiming in here. Yeah. And now, I want to talk about the need for abortion rights, the need for funding for poor women. But before we do that, because this is the radio program of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, I thought we could get it from the horse's mouth about how FFRF really only exists because of this war against women by the churches, the war against reproductive rights. And I thought you could talk about the start of FFRF and how you happened to become aware of the great danger of religion and government.
Wisconsin was one of the last states in the country to prohibit birth control, even for married people. And I kind of joined that fight and went from that into the abortion battle. But what I found was that when this issue came up in the state legislature, there would be piles of Catholic matrons, priests, nuns, whatever, coming in to testify against contraception, to testify later then against abortion. And I saw who the enemy was, and nobody was really tackling the problem head on. So that was really a major reason for my wanting to start the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Because religion and government were basically being united. The government was taking marching orders from a church, a private church, right?
Yes.
Now, Anne,
yes.
You wrote the first editorial.
You can call her Mom. Just say
in
Mom.
The state of Wisconsin, calling for the decriminalization or the legalization of abortion when you were editor of the Middleton Times Tribune. Was that 67 or 68?
Oh, boy. You're taxing.
I think that was
it was the late 60s.
And so your phone really never stopped ringing from that point on, isn't that right?
Yes. What I did that started the phone ringing was to refer women for abortions. People didn't know where to go. They didn't have any information. At that time, very few people were going out of the country to Mexico, to Japan, to England. And so we tried to find local. I tried to find local places. Local meaning in the USA.
So, yeah, we're talking about the late 60s, early 70s, before abortion was legal in Wisconsin or before Roe versus Wade. Now, you were referring some women at one point to some of the early states that legalized abortion included Colorado and New York. Isn't that right?
Yes, New York was the principal destination.
But I remember you were referring women to a Dr. Ponce in Mexico City until then.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I remember the calls coming in. I was in middle school, and you would be giving women the information about what to take and what to say. And I remember one of the women came back and called you up and said, it's strange to say it this way, but it was almost like a vacation.
Yes, she said it was almost fun.
Now, I know you don't ever ask what are the religious beliefs of the women who call.
I don't.
But do you think they're all non-believers? Or do you think there's a big chunk of believers in that group?
Oh, no, there's a big chunk of believers. Frequently, I'm blessed, you know, God bless you, et cetera. And I just thank them.
You could say that's a funny thing to say to an atheist.
Well, and you don't want to say anything about them going against their own church teachings. These women are desperate, and they're smarter than their own church. They realize the importance of taking care of the children they do have already.
And so then I think this was through the zero population growth abortion, contraception, and sterilization referral service. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
And that number even got published, to your dismay, in Playboy.
The phone rang all the time.
I mean, it rang in the middle of the night.
Yes.
I mean, you were dealing with people around the country,
mm-hmm.
trying to find just a contraception even.
Right.
Well,
people don't realize how primitive it was.
Well, you started it, Anne. Since Annie Laurie and I took over as co-presidents, the foundation's phone's been ringing off the hook as well. So there's something about a Gaylor that makes the phone rings.
I guess.
Well, and then why don't you tell listeners about what the one piece of good news in Wisconsin was the federal court ruling in, was it 1971, overturning abortion early in this state, the abortion criminalization laws early in Wisconsin.
That's right.
And so then you were really in, well, the Women's Medical Fund got its start because of the clinic raid.
Yes, there was an abortion clinic opened here on the basis of that court decision. But we had a primitive DA who chose to raid the clinic and then close it for a short time.
And they even took the records. I think there were, 300 records? So they
could. For all these people with appointments, it was booked as far ahead as you could book, you know.
So you were called by them and as a volunteer, and you went there and you were meeting what crying women at the door?
Yes, there were people who couldn't be notified because the policeman, under orders, took the appointment book in the raid, and nobody had any way to contact the people who had appointments. It was booked way ahead.
Didn't they even take a teenager? I mean, I think her,
they did.
Of her feet were in the stirrups. I mean, it was kind of like fascism.
It was.
It was scary. And so getting to the point of this, you ended up having to raise money because some of these women, and they didn't have any place else to go, and so you were helping to pay the transportation to New York. Isn't that right?
Yes, early on we did.
And then eventually it became the Women's Medical Fund helping almost exclusively indigent women, women on medical assistance.
Yes.
For whom there is an abortion cutoff of payment.
I talk to women today, and when I say, what is your monthly income, she will say things like, well, I sell my food stamps.
That's
it's really very tight, especially in Milwaukee. There is so much poverty in Milwaukee.
You know, I sometimes get the calls when they're in Spanish, people from Mexico and other countries, because I speak Spanish. And I ask, you know, what is your income? And they kind of hesitate. I think part of it is that they don't want to be identified if they're legal or not. But some of them say, well, I sometimes help clean a friend's house or something. That's their income. And they've got three kids and their husband's in jail and they you don't have any education. The stories are very sad.
They are. And there are so many of them.
Now, how many, 20,000 women have been helped, and do you remember how many last year?
No, I'd have to look that up.
We called you, really, you didn't have time to get your stuff together here. Sorry. But it was a lot, wasn't it? At least 700?
About that.
Something like that. And so we are talking with Ann Gaylor, the founder, principal founder, and person who ran the Freedom From Religion Foundation as administrator for 25 years, about the need, the war against reproductive rights, how that started the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and how she is administering now as a volunteer the Women's Medical Fund. So we'll return and talk a little bit more about that great need with Ann Gaylor in a minute.
Find out more about Free Thought Radio and the Freedom From Religion Foundation at FFRF.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
Hi, this is Julia Sweeney. In my play, Letting Go of God, I come out clearly as an atheist, absolutely committed to keeping church and state separate. Won't you join me and the Freedom From Religion Foundation in waking up America to the growing dangers of theocracy? Phone 1-800-335-4021. That's 1-800-335-4021. Or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at FFRF.org. That's FFRF.org.
This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. And our guest, our surprise guest, she didn't know she was going to be guest, it was a surprise attack, is Ann Nicole Gaylor, who is the president emerita of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, but still currently the administrator, very busy administrator, of the Charitable Women's Medical Fund, abortion rights charity, the longest-lived abortion rights charity continuously operating in the United States, which has helped more than 20,000 women without means in Wisconsin pay for abortions because of the cutoff of abortion funding due to the Catholic influence of our government.
Wait a minute. I didn't think atheists cared about charities.
So atheists start charities, don't they, Mom?
Yes, they do.
And we were connecting the dots a little bit here about the whole feminist issue, the attack against women's rights that's going on now. It was going on in the 60s and 70s, and it was really why the Freedom From Religion Foundation began. And do you want to put that in your own words?
Well, in looking at the overall problem, I realized, as I'm sure many people did, that the enemy of women was religion, that wherever you turned, there was religion's heavy hand, and that until someone took on religion, you were going to have this one-sided conversation, that you weren't going to hear from women because they were going to be silenced.
Just like what happened in Congress.
Yes.
In February, you know, with the male clergy and the congressmen having their conversation about conscious rights, which was about banning contraception.
About the time that this came up in Wisconsin, there was something called the Council for Home and Family, and it had 26 members, I believe, and 25 of them were men.
Talking about women.
Home and family, yeah.
So the whole point, the impetus for starting the Freedom From Religion Foundation was really because the wake-up call was the harm of religion and government, and specifically your experience working for women's rights.
Yes.
Now, if people want to give a charitable donation to the Women's Medical Fund, this 99.99% pure charity, what should they do?
They can send a check to the Women's Medical Fund. This is tax deductible, and they can send it to Post Office Box 248, Madison, Wisconsin, and that's 53701.
And I'll repeat that. That's Women's Medical Fund Incorporated, Post Office Box 248, Madison, Wisconsin, 53701. And we don't have a whole lot of a website presence, but there's something up there. You have to make sure you're getting the Madison, Wisconsin Women's Medical Fund. There's another one in Pennsylvania. But Dan, what did you want to
say? The P.O. box is 248. Who do we appreciate? We appreciate people like Ann Gaylor.
Now, so I think we might have time to read a little bit from that full-page ad, controversial, very important, honest ad that the Freedom From Religion Foundation took. It's this history-making.
In the New York Times.
In the New York Times. Its title was, "It's Time to Quit the Catholic Church." They made us change
the headline.
The title to "It's Time to Consider Quitting the Catholic Church." But Dan, as we have time, you want to read a little bit of it.
It's an open letter to liberal and nominal Catholics. And there's a Benson cartoon on here with a screaming bishop on one side and a woman on the other, with her back to the bishop and her arms folded. And in between them, there's a little tiny birth control pill, and the bishop screaming, "All the outrage!" And then it says, "Over something this small." And the woman says, "That's a bit hard to swallow." Open letter to liberal and nominal Catholics. It's your moment of truth. It's time to quit the Roman Catholic Church. Will it be reproductive freedom or back to the Dark Ages? Do you choose women and their rights or bishops and their wrongs? Whose side are you on? In light of the U.S. Catholic Conference of Bishops' war against women's right to contraception, why are you aiding and abetting a church that's repeatedly engaged in a crusade to ban contraception, abortion, and sterilization, to deny the right of all women everywhere, Catholic or not, to decide whether and when to become mothers? Think of the acute misery, poverty, needless suffering, unwanted pregnancies, overpopulation, social evils, and deaths that can be laid directly at the door of your church's pernicious doctrine that birth control is a sin and must be outlawed. If you think you can change the church from within to get it to lighten up on birth control, gay rights, marriage equality, embryonic stem cell research, you're deluding yourself. By remaining a good Catholic, you are doing bad to women's rights. You are an enabler, and it's got to stop. It's a disgrace that U.S. healthcare reform is being held hostage to your church's irrational opposition to medically prescribed contraception. No political candidate should have to genuflect before the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. President Obama has compromised, but the church never budges. Instead, it's launching a ruthless political inquisition in your name. Your church hysterically claims that secular medical policy is an assault against religious liberty. The louder the church cries offense against religious liberty, the harder it works to take away women's liberty. Now, your church has introduced into Congress a doublespeak bill, the Respect for Rights of Conscience Act, to allow dogma to trump the civil rights and private consciences of employees. The church that hasn't persuaded you to shun contraception now wants to use the force of secular law to deny birth control to non-Catholics. You're better than your church, so why stay? Why put up with an institution that discriminates against half of humanity? Why send your children to parochial schools to be indoctrinated into the next generation of obedient donors and voters? Can't you see how misplaced your loyalty is after two decades of sex scandals involving praying priests, church complicity, collusion, and cover-up going all the way to the top? Apparently, you're like the battered woman who, after being beaten down every Sunday, feels she has no place else to go. There is a more welcoming home for you. Join those of us who put humanity above dogma. As Thomas Paine observed, "My own mind is my own church." We invite you to free yourself from incense fog ritual, from ideas uttered long ago by ignorant men, from blind obedience to an illusory religious authority. As a member of the flock of an avowedly anti-democratic old boys club, isn't it time you vote with your feet? Please exit en masse.
And that was your line, that last line, Dan, right? The best line. So that we dedicate that New York Times full-page ad to you, Anne Nicole Gaylor.
Well, thank you.
We hope you approved.
I do. Sounded good, Dan.
And so you can donate to the Women's Medical Fund to help poor women at Post Office Box 248, Madison, Wisconsin, 53701. Thank you so much for being our guest on the spur there.
Okay.
And thank you, Ben Yant, for pinch hitting today. You're doing a great job. And for Buzz Kemper for announcing. Find out more at ffrf.org/radio.
And sign up for FFRF at ffrf.org. Phone 1-800-335-4021. Tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday you'll join us.